Shall be, we direct our attention to you. You are the chief object of our affection and attention this morning. And if there anything that would seek to distract us from that, we invite you, we ask you to redirect our attention and affection at this time. We thank you for allowing us the freedom to gather in your name, Lord Jesus, and we do that with joy. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. Welcome. Great to see each one of you. And you who are on Zoom as well. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. And you are aware that we have been working our way through the book of Acts, which details the early history of the gospel message as Christ had gone back to heaven. And now here comes... What do we do now? Well, this is the story of Acts. So I want to give you just a little bit of a feel for what today is going to be. We're going to try to visit, so to speak, one of the places that we learn about there in Acts to help us get our bearings. Can you give me that one there, Perry, that first one? There we go. To get our bearings, this is a map of the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey, and it began there in Antioch, circled there. And from there, he and Silas went north and west, and they traveled through the cities that Paul had been on his first missionary journey. And then when they came to this area that I circled, they were contemplating where to go next. And they attempted to go toward Asia, but the Holy Spirit said no. So then they tried to go north to Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So they went slightly west to Troas. And while they were there, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia. And I circled in purple the area that is Macedonia. He had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over here and help us." So they concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel to them in Macedonia, and so they went that way toward Macedonia. They came first to that city named Philippi. We studied about that. They came next to Thessalonica. They were not there a long time. We're told Paul reasoned in the synagogue for three Sabbaths. What happened there? Well, some of the Jews turned to the Lord, but there was more substantially a great multitude, we're told, a great multitude of the God-fearing Greeks who turned to the Lord, and a number of the leading women. This great turning made the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, very jealous. And so they stirred up a mob and they set the city in an uproar, and they went on the hunt for Paul and Silas. They came to a certain house where they'd been staying, and they didn't find him there, so they dragged out some of the other believers out before the whole mob, this very tense situation. And as we all know and have seen in recent years, things can go sideways in a hurry when a mob gets worked up. So the Thessalonian believers sent Paul and Silas away by night to the next city, Berea, about 50 miles away. And Paul and Silas preached the gospel there. But when the Jews back in Thessalonica found out that Paul and Silas were over there proclaiming the news of Jesus Christ in Berea, they went down there and tried to foment, and they did, foment a riot there. So the Berean believers this time whisked Paul away, and they sent him, and he went down to Athens, was there a short time, and then was over to Corinth. While he was at Corinth, he was deeply concerned for these believers back up in Thessalonica. He's probably concerned for all of them, but we know he was deeply concerned for the believers in Thessalonica. And as I said, he'd only been there a short time before this intense persecution broke out, not only against him, but all the believers. So he wrote a letter to these Thessalonian believers. He sent the first letter to the believers, and then he sent another letter to the Thessalonian believers. We call these letters, as you know, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, because they were written to the believers in Thessalonica. So today, what we're going to try to do is imagine that we ourselves are those believers in Thessalonica when those two letters came. And I imagine that it could have been something like a group like us today. And a letter from Paul and Silas and Timothy has arrived. And word got out. This letter has arrived. We get to hear from them. And so they were all gathering together. These are their spiritual mentors, their fathers in the faith. And they all gathered together to hear this letter read. These people who had risked their lives for us, the good news of salvation and eternal life, in order to give that to us, we want to hear what they say. That's the mindset that I want you to have, as if you're one of them. So what we're going to do is just read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We'll read it in a couple of creative ways, and we're going to intersperse it with songs and worship and some other things along the way. But the intent is that we just immerse ourselves in the word of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and let the Lord speak to us as he did to them. Does that sound like a good plan? All right. Well, then let's do that. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1st Thessalonians, and we'll begin. Paul and Silas and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
We will worship together this morning, singing along the lines of some of the things we just heard. Jesus is coming again. And the opening of that chapter, we give thanks always. So I invite you, if you're able, to stand, and we'll worship Jesus by giving thanks to him.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave
is one.
so, so starved and weak. We were hungry for a homeland. We did not know how to see. But we lifted up our voices to the only one who hears. And the God of mercy came and brought us near. We were
yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So, affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost.
Just as the Thessalonians had Paul, Silas, and Timothy that proved to be gentle among them as a nursing mother tenderly cares, with the fond affection and their labor and their hardship and how they devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly behaved toward the Thessalonians, and how, as a father, they were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of them as a father would his own children to walk worthy, in a manner worthy of the God who calls you. Somebody, the Lord has put somebody in your life who implored and encouraged and exhorted you and wants you still to walk worthy. Shall we thank the Lord for his divine, sovereign, loving design on our lives through people that he's used, like Paul and Silas and Timothy to the Thessalonians. Lord, we give you thanks that you were winsome toward us with somebody's love and gentleness, like a nursing mother who cares for her own children, like a father who encourages and exhorts and implores. You brought someone into our life to take up that mantle and lead us to the Savior compellingly, lovingly, kindly, and then to exhort us that we would walk as followers of you in a manner worthy of the God who called us into his own kingdom and glory. And we give you thanks for these people in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to turn our thoughts now. We're going to let the scripture turn our thoughts to the Lord's table, his sacrifice and his offering of his body and blood. Would those who are prepared to help join me at the table, please? We'll pick up the reading in verse 17 of chapter 2. But we, brethren, having been bereft of you for a short while, in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager, with great desire, to see your face. We wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan thwarted us. For who is our joy and hope and crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Jesus Christ, back to you to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor should have been in vain. But now that Timothy has come back to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you, for this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying and most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. And now, may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way back to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Suffering and affliction for the followers of Christ in the example of Christ, who suffered all the way to the cross with his body and his blood, so that we could be, as it says in the last verse, unblameable in holiness before our God and Father. These are the means by which we can be found unblameable in holiness before our God, the body and blood of Jesus. And then the suffering, his love gift toward us, and our suffering, a love gift back to the Father, not earning salvation, but a gratitude for our salvation. Shall we receive the emblems of his suffering, the emblems of his body and blood broken and poured out for us? Shall we receive these joyfully, as we offer to him any measure of hardship and difficulty and suffering that he has divinely allowed to come our way in loving response to him? Let's do that together. Lord Jesus, these emblems remind us of that great price that you paid that we could be unblameable. Unblameable. Staggering words, unblameable before holy God in our own holiness, or actually in your holiness. We thank you for the price you paid to purchase our holiness before holy God. And we thank you for the love, even the love in all of that suffering toward us. And we, with that in view, choose to take a perspective of any suffering, bodily, emotional, any other kind of suffering, hardship, that you have divinely approved should come our way, we choose to have an attitude toward that hardship and suffering of gratitude as it mirrors your affection and love and rescue toward us. Receive now our praise as we eat and drink, reaffirm our belief in you, and extend our appreciation once again. Amen.
First Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in your plan and your ordaining of direction for us and the way that you designed it, that we just heard the gospel that you took our sin upon you to give us your righteousness, that you bought us and brought us into a place of holiness, not because of our works, but because of what you've done. And so thank you that as we dwell in that and abide in that, and you place your Holy Spirit in us, you equip us to carry that out in our daily lives. Lord, I ask that even as you instructed the Thessalonians, that we too, as a body of believers before you, would walk in holiness, would walk in purity, motivated by the love that you've given to us and the love that we are to show one another, that we would treasure and value these bodies that you have given us and treat them with honor the way you have asked us to do. Lord, lead us away from temptation, lead us away from evil in places where there is a lack of holiness or purity. Would you bring us to repentance through your kindness and cleanse us from those unclean things, and bring us to abound more and more, as Paul said here, in holiness, in purity, but above all else, Lord, in love for one another, in love for you, in love for the saints, and love for the world around us, Lord, both to carry out your gospel and also to be a witness and testimony of the work that you have done in our lives to make us more like you and to be that light. So Lord, let your love abound in us through your Holy Spirit. Let it grow stronger. Let us meet one another's needs as your Spirit leads us, and continue to draw us into the fullness and maturity of the body of Christ. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll be resuming in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and following. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. One of the features I love about this passage is that in the middle of all of this detail about things to come, Paul focuses us on encouraging one another. The main application of these passages isn't to fill up the details of our timeline, although it does that. It's for us to encourage one another. Twice, encourage one another with these words. And so, we're going to open for a time of encouraging one another through sentence prayers. If there's something in here that spoke to your heart, something that you want to share with us as just an honoring the Lord and thanksgiving, let's encourage one another in brief prayers. Will someone lead us out in this?
I thank you for the purpose, Lord, that you stated here in verse 10. You died for us that whether we are awake or still living or have already died, we may live together with you. And by extension, those who've gone ahead, we will be together, we and they together with you. I thank you. That is a great encouragement.
We thank you, Lord, for your promise to return. Our world needs you so much. We are in such dire straits, all over the world. Thank you, that we will come again with you. Thank you, Lord, that when we experience the loss of those that we love in Christ, we can grieve, but we don't grieve without hope. You've given us the hope of the resurrection and hope of being reunited and the hope of being together with you. And so I thank you for that encouragement and comfort.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for us. And so as we hear this promise that we will always be with the Lord, we remember that even in death, we won't be separated from you. You've walked that road. And you've also walked the road of resurrection. And so we have a sure hope that we will follow, we who are yours. So help us, Lord, to remember this as we walk through grief with various losses, to encourage one another with this hope. And we thank you that it is a true and living hope, because it's in Jesus that we're trusting. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
To finish out 1 Thessalonians 5, I thought, is there another way we could we sing this? Well, we needed a tune, and we needed the words to fit. I found a tune, and I did my best to make the words fit. It's not great, but it might help. Let me give you a little bit of instruction. It's going to be set to the tune of O God, Our Help in Ages Past. When you see some words underlined, you kind of got to go fast right there. It's going to go like this. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Got it? Give you another one. This one's a little, had to stretch this one. Abstain from every form of evil. You get the idea? Okay. Have to work with me a little. And then there's one place where, I don't see it here. There's one place where I just couldn't make it work. So I stopped the song and this one line, we're going to just say it, and it says, speak, okay? You with me? You willing to give this a try? So this is going to take 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to the end of the chapter. You ready? Here's our tune, our key.
We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. Esteem them very highly in love for their word's sake, and be at peace among yourselves, at peace among yourselves. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn the undisciplined. Comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays to any wrong for wrong, but always seek that which is good for one another and for all.
You're doing great.
Rejoice always, pray unceasingly, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test all things and hold on fast to all that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself make you holy in every way. May your spirit, soul, and body whole be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You're doing great.
Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring
You caught in one of those last lines the charge to have the letter read. Well, we just did. We had the letter read before all the brothers. And now we turn the page to 2 Thessalonians. If you remember, Paul's stay in Corinth lasted about a year and a half. And so probably several months after he penned 1 Thessalonians, he wrote 2 Thessalonians. And some of the themes continue. The coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord is on their minds. And he writes to address some misconceptions. And there's also been more trouble, more persecution, and some people trying to disturb them by writing as if they were Paul. These things will be clarified as we turn our attention now to 2 Thessalonians.
Thank you, Jesse, for helping us get the feel of it all. We're going to read the next chapter responsively. So it'll be leader and congregation. There's a time or two where it calls for the men and women, so you got to pay attention. Ready? Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love of all of you, the love all of you have for one another is increasing.
Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring.
All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you.
And give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels.
He will
punish those who do not know God and do not obey gospel of our Lord Jesus.
They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed.
This includes you because you believe our testimony.
With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith.
We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's continue glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day we will marvel at his appearance.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee,
and sings my soul.
him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God,
brothers and sisters, let us tell you about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered together to meet him. Please don't be so easily shaken and troubled by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Even if they claim to have had a vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us, don't believe them. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy every other god there is and tear down every object of adoration and worship. He will position himself in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you this when I was with you? And now you know what is holding him back, for he cannot be revealed only, and now you know who is holding him back, for he cannot be revealed only when this time comes. For this is the law, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. When the man of lawlessness is revealed, whom Lord Jesus Christ will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming, this evil man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of wicked deception to fool those who are on their way to destruction, because they will refuse to believe the truth that will save them. So God will send a strong deception upon them, and they will all believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for not believing the truth and for everything and for enjoying the evil that they do. This was particularly poignant for me because these last two verses are what actually led me to the Lord. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and raised a Roman Catholic. Moved to Atlanta, Georgia in 1980 at 22 years old. Once or twice a month, I would call home to my friends and family. During one of those calls, my best friend Vince told me that he had become a born-again Christian. Vince would witness to me over the phone and suggest various verses for me to read, but I never would. Until one time, I think he caught on and he had me actually read one of the verses back to him. I was starting to lean towards becoming a Christian, but I knew the lifestyle change that would entail doing that, and I had tried to change before without success. So with the holidays looming and a trip back to Detroit included in that, I told Vince that I thought that might be a good time for me to make the change, and maybe I could get a running start at it. If the Spirit is calling you, now, today is the time. You may not have another chance, is what Vince told me. Well, now with a sense of urgency coming along with the chance of being allowed to be deceived, demanded my attention, and I was compelled to find out at this time, I was compelled to find that this, I'm a little confused, sorry. A sense of urgency along with a chance of being allowed to be deceived demanded my attention, and I was compelled to find out why that was. And when I found the verse again in 2 Thessalonians, I was completely ignorant of the reference system in the Bible. Luckily, it was within the second chapter. And when I read that verse again, time just seemed to stop. And the Holy Spirit and I just did some business. He seemed to take away all the objections and satisfied all my objections. And I gave my life to Christ that night.
Tim, quote us that verse in the version you learned.
Well, in King James, it doesn't exactly sound like this. The way I always remembered it was, God will send a strong delusion that they might believe what is false. And that really scared me.
As it should.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's continue reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, picking up at verse 13. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that Tim was able to see clearly because he was led by the Holy Spirit to accept the truth and not be led by deception. We pray the same thing for us, especially the younger ones among us, that as they grow and mature and study your word, that you would help them to get firmly established in that word, and firmly established not only in the word, but in the works that they will perform for you in obedience to your word. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for your word that tells us exactly what we need to know to enter into a relationship with you and your Son, Jesus Christ, that tells us what to do so that we might enter into your family and receive the eternal life that you promised for us. We pray for protection against the deception of Satan's delusions, and we pray that we might all stand firm in the truth, stand firm in the faith. And so we ask you to continue to sanctify us by your Holy Spirit and to help us to stand firm and be established in good work and good words. Amen.
Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. We're going to have a brief season of prayer in groups, and before we turn to one another to pray, let me give you some information to guide your prayers. I learned in a meeting this week something about School District Lexington Richland 5. It's a large district spanning from here out toward Chapin, and the disparity of wealthy to poor is severe in the district. The Lake Murray area has some of the wealthiest schools in the state, and also the district has the most poor school in the state. Does anybody know which one that is? Seven Oaks Elementary School, right down the street. We served these kids in the spring, teaching them the Bible, and many of you have expressed a desire to do more for these kids. What I didn't realize is how needy that school was just a block away from us. And so as we pray, I want to ask you that you would pray for Seven Oaks Elementary, that the word of the Lord would speed ahead and be honored at Seven Oaks. It says not all have faith. There are plenty of unbelievers there and connected to the school. And pray that the Lord will direct our hearts to his love for the needy right down the street. So will you turn to somebody near you and seek the Lord's mercy for Seven Oaks Elementary School and, by extension, any other lost and poor in your circles?
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we look to you as the sovereign over all the universe. We heard recently about in Corinth, you had many people in that city. And Lord, we hear about the many needy just down the street from us, and our hearts are burdened. So we pray that your word would speed ahead and be honored at Seven Oaks. We pray that your word would speed ahead and be honored in the relationships with the lost that each of us have. And we pray that you will guard us, establish us from the evil one against him, so that he will not have any sway over the lost and the ministry of the word to them. Will you strengthen us and give us grace to serve you, to meet the needs of the needy and the broken in our community, for your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
I'll read from chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work will not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet, do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Now, I don't need to comment on this passage because I don't know of any idle busybodies among us. But Paul set an example for the believers and taught them that they are to work if they're to eat. And he said, we have a right. Those who preach the gospel, those who teach, have a right to earn a living from that. But he sacrificed that right. May the Lord encourage us, you in your work and those in retirement, that we are following the example set in the garden, that Adam was given the job of tending the garden.
We asked Lindsay to give that word of exhortation because he's seen a lot in his life and he has persevered almost like our Apostle Paul to us, a mentor, a leader, one who has shown us how the faithful are to work. Thank you, Lindsay, for that testimony. Would you stand for the benediction? We are at the end of 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read with you. Hope you still have your Bibles. Verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.